Anyway, you brought Christopher in here, and he's got 472,000 books on the desk.
How good! Can I just say how fantastic do the books look?
They look fabulous.
They're really eye catching, aren't they? I was looking on your Facebook page, I believe it was the other day, well, a couple of
stalking
days ago.
Me.
I was. Well, what are they? No, anyway, okay. But don't they just look fantastic? I just, you know,
I loved you. Who did the? Because that's. Oh, yeah, they're all the books. Who did the book, the cover for you?
There's a guy called Christian. He runs a company called Covers by Christian. I think he's in the Philippines, if not mistaken. But he's done all my books, and he's done a fantastic job with them. So you got the green, the blue, the yellow, and book four, which will be the red one, will be out very, very soon as well.
And the first one was?
The first one is Joshua and the Magical Forest.
All right.
And then we have Joshua and the Magical Islands.
Yeah, the clue, if I have a really good look at it,
clue,
it says book one.
The clue's in the words on the front of the cover.
Yeah, book one. What a ferret head I am.
And then we got Joshua and the Magical Islands, which is book two. And then we have Joshua and the Magical Temples, which is book three.
That's Joshua is a good name to have for books. When you're writing a book, it's a good name. That's a good name. What made you think of Joshua?
It's just the name I've always liked. And Joshua actually started out life as a 10-year-old child with a physical disability that I wrote in a short story that never got published, and the name, I just like the name, so the name stuck. And but there's actually, if you go onto Amazon or Google and browse for books with the word Joshua in it, there's loads of them.
It's more popular than what you think.
It's also, Joshua is the name of the computer in War Games.
Oh yes, the movie. Yeah. Well, actually, haven't they re-released or a new War Games movie? Someone was telling me.
Star Trek, isn't it?
No. War Games movies, when you get a kid who is a hacker who hacks into the Department of Defense, and they have a computer that does simulations of war.
Triggers a simulation of World War III, and people think it's real. It's a great movie.
It is a good movie.
Yeah. The Whopper. Yeah. Joshua was the name.
I quite enjoy it, but okay, so there you go. So Magical Forest, Magical Islands.
And Magical Temples.
Magical Temple. Tell us a little bit about
this. This is all Joshua.
Yeah, it's all about Joshua.
Now, does Joshua have any magical abilities?
No.
Or is it just a place he happens to go?
No, the fantasy worlds that the protagonists explore all have magical properties. They're all fantasy. So in book one, The Magical Forest, which is set in a magical world called Forestium, we have, you know, various magical creatures, and there are magical orbs and mirrors and things like that, and you've got this evil character that's trying to kill them. And the idea with this particular book series, the Portalis book series, which is a little bit different from your average book series, is that when you go from book to book, the entire world changes. So in book one, it's a very heavily forested environment, which hence the word Forestium is the title. In book two, Joshua and the Magical Islands, it's more of a sort of a Hawaiian, Polynesian, desert island type environment. Mm-hmm. And then in Joshua and the Magical Temples, we go to a pseudo-Egypt, where you've got, you know, pyramids and obelisks and tombs and things. Mm-hmm. And so that's the idea. You go from book to book to book, you travel to a new world each time.
And where do you come from in regards to your? What's your inspiration? Your inspiration. So I want to know: are you originally a Dungeons and Dragons person?
I may have a little bit of geekiness in my distant past. I get asked this question a lot. Essentially, you know, what's your inspiration for your books? And it is hard, but I think, having thought about this for a while, because I think a lot of it, my inspiration is subconscious. Now, I've travelled quite a bit. I've hit about 43 countries and about 13 US states. And what I found is that each of these different worlds, the forested world, the island world, the temples world, they actually represent different places that I've been to. And so I can actually write. So, for example, we travelled through Egypt, and up and down the River Nile, and we visited all the various temples. And so anybody who's been to Egypt will instantly recognise the world that I've created in Joshua and the Magical Temples. It's very much of that ilk. We've been to a few, you know, we've been to Fiji and, you know, a few other places around the South Pacific, and I drew on all that for Joshua and the Magical Islands. You know, the whole desert island feel with palm trees and weird and wonderful crabs and things like that. And so I think that's where my inspiration comes from. It's basically the various places I've visited. I grew up in the UK, and so Western Europe is replete with castles and, you know, kings and queens from years gone by. And so book four, which is going to be Joshua and the Magical Kingdoms, is set in that sort of scene, sort of a medieval King Arthur, Knights of the Round Table, that kind of setting. And so I think it's just the places I've visited mm-hmm. as a, you know,
but you put your imagination to it.
Yeah.
We are interviewing Christopher Morgan. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about his books, which, the last time you had one book, and now you've got one, two, three, four,
three. I've got three paperbacks and three hardback versions.
You got some hardback, yeah.
And one on the way.
And a fourth one on the way, and I've got some collaboration projects on the go as well.
It's fantastic.
How long does it take to write one?
Oh, that's...
Or is it... Okay, how long does it take to write one, and is it easier now that you've got the first one written?
It varies, because it depends on how much you're afflicted by a writer's block. So, for example, book one, I sat and wrote that start to finish in 6 weeks. And then I wrote the first half of book two in about another 6 weeks. And then it took me almost a year to get the rest of book two finished. But then when I finally sort of overcome sort of that writer's block, I sat down and I finished book two and then wrote all of book three in the space of 4 weeks. So I could write a book every month in theory, depending on how artistic or imaginative I'm feeling at the time.
Yeah. If good authors who are really into it usually write a book once every month or something like that.
The really, really successful authors, yeah. I mean, that's the way to do it. That's the best way to make a lot of money is to have a quick release schedule.
And where do you sell them?
Anywhere I can.
You're not like me and you haven't got 100 in your garage.
No. I keep a small stock on hand because one of the other spin-offs that I do is I visit schools
mm-hmm.
and I deliver, you know, author presentations. They're very lively, very fun, and I might sell a bunch of books every time I go to a school. So I'd usually keep a few on hand. But generally speaking, you can get them on Amazon, on Barnes & Noble, anywhere you sell books.
Mm. Beautiful. They're fantastic.
Or from my website, portalis.com.
How did you say you met Christopher?
Oh, I've known Christopher for a long time.
We've quite a bit in common, actually. I was thinking about it earlier.
We've been on stage together.
Yes, we've been on stage together. Well, I think we got a couple of things in common, I think. We've got kids and entrepreneurship.
Well, I don't know about that. But
I think those are the things we've got.
I can tell you the first time I went and balloon twisted at Christopher's house.
Oh, God, do you remember that?
Yes.
How many kids?
And face painted we did. And that
We must have had
a few years ago now.
Over 100 bodies in the house at the time.
Yes, people running, or kids running everywhere. It was good fun.
Mm. It was good.
Well, that's good because he loves doing all that.
Normally, when I come into contact with Kevin, I've usually got red and green tights on.
That's it. And I'm in all red.
Look at the confusion on his face.
And it's in December in Limbrook.
Because the pictures come before my mind and they're so funny.
Well, both Kevin and I have an affinity for kids and for entertaining kids.
Yeah.
And so one of the regular events that we do is the annual Christmas Limbrook Moonlight Cinema, where Kevin comes dressed as probably the best Santa that has ever lived.
He is the only Santa.
He's the real deal. He's got the real beard and everything.
Yep,
and then I'm one of the entertaining elves.
Oh, okay.
Usually the naughty elf.
Mm. Throwing lollies out.
You must tell me the next time you're at the Lynbrook Centre, I could nearly walk there.
No, it's a good night. It's a lot of fun.
Someone will drive me.
It's a fantastic night. Actually, we get up there, and is it the Salvation Army band or?
There's a few different bands. We have a stage with some live music going.
It's good stuff.
Yeah.
LRA, the Limbrook Residents Association.
Yeah.
They do a lot of good stuff.
Mm. Of course they do. Yeah.
For people in Limbrook, but not
that's
only
right.
Limbrook. If you're not from Limbrook, you're welcome to come along as well.
Well, I'm not from Limbrook. I'm actually from Lyndhurst across the track. So.
Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go.
Gay lives across the track. But I live in Lynbrook. You know, I think I
Gay
was
Gay lives across the track. Yeah. It doesn't sound very good. She lives across the
across
track.
The track. Yeah, I was one of the first settlers.
Oh, the early settlers. Well, I'd believe that. You knew
and
Captain Cook?
On Lynbrook I was, yeah. Lynbrook.
Arthur Phillip, you knew Arthur Phillip as well? Didn't you go out a couple of times with him? He said, I was going to bring some sheep, and you said, leave it alone. Just.
Christopher, where are you? He's going to take you. Where are they taking you? Where do you want to take you?
Where's the end of the series going to come?
Well,
I don't actually know that. I mean, I'm writing book four at the moment,
yeah.
And I'm not yet decided whether or not book four will be the final book in the series or not.
Well, you don't have to kill him off or anything. You can just grow old like me.
I don't want to give away too many spoilers.
Okay.
I can't say. I don't. Joshua won't die at the end of the series.
It's him. When I listen to you, I'm thinking of Vida, who you know.
Vida Towsett.
Yeah.
Or as we call it, Vida.
She writes books but about aliens.
Oh, okay.
About the aliens. Yep. But they're fabulous. And Christopher, when people want to touch, if they want to buy a book about Joshua,
there's a couple of ways you can get your hands on the book. You can either go to Amazon, mm-hmm. and download the book there, either ebook or physical. Or if you'd like the book autographed, mm-hmm. then I have to be able to physically autograph it. So the best place to buy it then is on my own website, which is portalas.com, mm-hmm. PORTALLAS.com. Mm-hmm. And there are some great bundles. You can get some discounts there as well.
What's your goal? Nick's goal?
Well, my goal...
In the end, where you
ultimately, work? I suppose... I make a fairly good living doing IT, which is my day job, when I'm doing it. Mm. But ultimately, I'd like to be able to switch over to writing full-time.
Mm.
And make some money off it, make a living.
Yeah,
off
it
for me, it's a hobby at the moment.
Mm.
It's a sideline. But
when you work out how much money you can make, you'll decide it's a business.
No,
but keep it as being a fun thing, though. Don't turn it into I've got to have this much.
Don't put pressure on your hobby.
Yeah.
And so there's no pressure when you haven't got.
I see this as a green shoot. That will, you know, maybe in 5-10 years down the road, will develop into something that's a little bit more self-sustaining.
Yeah, cool.
Well, we have only got 1 minute left, so I want to thank you. I thank you, Christopher Morgan, for
having me.
Bringing books.